if you will, let's celebrate. Jelena was pronounced by the doctors to be cancer-free still. Isn't that a good deal? Yay. And we really didn't like the other hair she had, but that hair she has now looks really good, doesn't it? No? That is like just some extremely good news, and we are give God glory and thank Him for answered prayer. We have one more week. We're about to run into like a real super busy season. We have our family church picnic at the Gathering Fields this Saturday evening. In the afternoon, we'll be back to school bash. We will come back here on Sunday. And then at 7 on the square next Sunday will be a back to school prayer circle. Then Tuesday, we have the teachers' luncheon here. And then Wednesday, we prep, because Thursday, the craziest women you've ever seen in your life are going to fill this room, the crazy crafters. Do you guys call you crazy crafters, right? And the crafters part is objectable. Maybe, may not be true. The crazy part is definitely true. No, there'll be a bunch of ladies in here. And if you want to see how to do a craft, want to know a craft, have ever thought about being crafty in your life, don't come here, because they don't have time for you. They are busy. But no, those ladies, they have already raised a bunch of money for our opera, about $1,000, isn't it? Over $1,000 for Operation Christmas Child. So that's amazing. That's just amazing. So we're running right into that now. Next Sunday, we'll have this week to gather supplies, but we have insider information on what teachers would like, because we know somebody that works at the school system. We have a list out that has 27 things on it or whatever it is, but there are four or five that the teachers find very helpful. Number one is paper towels. And I go, the school has paper towels. And Becky said, no, the school has wrapping paper and tissue paper that they try to say is paper towels. You know that brown paper that won't do anything and then a kid throws up, or no, we're in church. They want to wash their hands. And so if you want to bring paper towels for the teachers in the room, good. The second thing is disinfectant, wipes. Kids are crazy. They carry lots of germs. If it's a fifth or sixth grader, they stink. So disinfectant wipes are good for them. The Ziploc bags of all sizes. Some of the teachers sell drugs, and that's a way they supplement their class. I think it's different than that. But anyway, Ziploc bags, hand sanitizer. And this is a big one, those Expo markers, dry erase markers. They're too expensive for teachers to buy, and so we want you to buy them for them, okay? Now, those are very helpful. They run out of them. They go through them throughout the year. So if you get I forget what it costs. Molly found a pack of 30 for, it wasn't $100, $200, something like that. I don't remember. No, it's really not terribly expensive, but it helps them from having to buy them. So Expo markers, hand sanitizer, Ziploc bags, disinfectant wipes, paper towels. And that's on a list. You can pick the list up out there. Bring a salad. You can sign up for a salad. We're really going to bless them, pray for them. What we do that once a year has residual effect, and I have actually had some very important connection with and times with teachers because of what we do there. And so bless you guys. I really appreciate it. And community appreciates it. Good? All right. I'm going to have you turn to John chapter 4. I don't think I'm missing anything terribly big. But I'm going to have you turn to John chapter 4. We're going to land there in just a moment. I'm going to give an overall story, and then I'm going to go in depth on a couple of things. I'm going to spend about 10 minutes or so. That usually means 40. But no, I'm really going to spend about 10 minutes or so, connect some things in the Bible that will be interesting for Bible readers. How many people have been saved over 20 years. Okay, you've been have you been reading the Bible any of that time at all? You've been to Bible studies? Okay, so for those people, there's some of us that haven't read the Bible that much. I try to not always go real deep, but I want to just bring some interesting facts after we go over the story for those that maybe have read the Bible a little bit more, give you something to think about. Maybe you can study a little bit deeper. Okay, there's a lady in the Bible. She ends up saying, "Come see a man." Do you remember that? Well, anybody remember what the rest of the statement is? Come see a man who told me everything I ever did, right? If it would have been English and she would have said it correctly, she would have said everything I've ever done, okay? I want you to think about the statement just for a moment, because here's a lady. I want you to see the vulnerability in the statement. It's in John chapter 4. She goes, "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done." There are people who know more about me before I started wearing this collar and holding this mic that I would not want the people in this church maybe to talk to, because they know. And here's what she said: "He opened all of my hidden closets. He knows everything I've ever done." Jesus really didn't tell her everything he ever done. He just hit a pain point that was causing her to have a lot of disruption, a lot of pain. When he touched that, she felt totally exposed before him. But I want you to think about the statement. There's somebody who knows everything bad about me, and she goes, "Go talk to that guy." And here's what I want to say, is he is with her. He is confrontive, but not condemning. He touches the pain point and he touches the problem, but somehow he does it in such a way she doesn't want to try to cover up. She is exposed. And so she goes to, and here's kind of the overall of the story. Jesus is going from here to here. He's going from here to here. He is in a straight line. Then in John 4, he goes, "I need to reroute. I must go to Samaria." So he goes here, here, back to here. It looks like a diversion. He has an encounter with one woman, this woman. That encounter opens up the whole region, and he spends 2 days in the region. It had to be a great day, because he preaches, I don't know how long, but all day long he's preaching. There's a great revival. There's a bunch of conversions. People come to Christ. And here's what they say. They go, "We heard her talk about you. It got us here. Now, since we've heard you, our hearts are changed because of what you said." Isn't that amazing? And so over the next couple of weeks, when we're really busy, a lot of people we're going to be encountering, we want to have this idea: come see a man. And the word "see" means perceive. It means two things in Greek. One, it is come look at him. But two, it means come understand him. Come get to know him. That might be an easier way to say it. Come get to know a man. And our goal is not just to give away markers. Our goal is we bless in order to stand on a platform to tell people about Christ. Does that make sense? And it is not just to build the platform. It's actually to tell them about Christ. And she goes, "Come see a man, told me everything I've ever done." And she reaches the town, and then the word of the kingdom goes throughout the whole region. Jesus stays there for 2 days. Let's go back to John chapter 4, and that's where we're going to start. John, I'm going to read down and kind of hit a couple points here. But I'm beginning with what I want to end, and here's where I want to end. I want to pray that we would be led by God individually and as a people to be in the right place at the right time. Isn't that what you want? And the leading of the Spirit, we could see it in the life of Jesus. You'll see some different times he's led different ways. Who's the shortest guy in the Bible? No, it was Bildad the shoe height. No, okay. That joke was so bad, only dads understand it. And Melissa, she gets it. Okay, now Zacchaeus, and Jesus went to an area. Zacchaeus climbs up a tree to see him. You remember that one? And Jesus goes, Zacchaeus, I came for you. The reason that I am here today, there's a bunch of other people around, but I was led today to a particular person. And I could show you different times in the Bible where Jesus is led to a person. Then other times it will say he is led to a place. In this one, he goes, I got to go to Samaria. Well, I'll show you the importance of that in just a moment. But when he gets there, he's going to go to a place, he's going to meet a person. And this is something that has just run in my mind for several decades that I go by, is in hearing the Lord, there are three things. I will be led to a place, a person, or a problem. Sometimes it's just a problem. Here's a problem, somebody's sick. Jesus is led to somebody that's sick, and he deals with the problem. Your value in life will be connected to the problems that you can solve. People pay you to solve problems. Not very much. Unless you're a mom, then you don't get paid to solve all kinds of problems. Your value is the problems. And now here's what we're going to see in the life of Jesus by the leading, the empowering, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is he will be supernaturally led to encounter people and supernaturally touch their problems. Does that mean? So there are times that God will say, go to this place. And it seems weird. It's out of place. I don't know why that's right. I just have this impression I need to go to the place. Then when you get to the place, you'll meet a person. The person will have a problem. And God, by grace, will help you to assist that person in their problem. That is the Christian life. Does that make sense? So in this one, Jesus gets up in the morning. He is going to Cana of Galilee. He's going from here to here. Then you're going to get to verse 2 or 3, and he goes, I must needs go through Samaria. Then you have to read John 5 to understand John 4, because Jesus said, I only do that which I hear. I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what I hear my Father saying. Therefore, I surmise Jesus is led. He's going here to here. He's led to go down here and to go to Samaria. When he goes to Samaria, we're going to pick up this encounter. It's kind of interesting, but my prayer is, see this whole thing and go. I need to be led by God. Let me be in the right place. Let me encounter the right people. May God give me wisdom, say the right thing at the right time, do the right thing, give the right thing, that actually becomes a blessing to somebody that's in a problem, right? Person, place, problem. I could quit right there. That's my outline, but I'm not going to. I'll preach for a little while longer, okay? And so I'm going to come to the end and go, for me as an individual, for us as a people, we need the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, speaking the right thing at the right time, doing the right thing at the right time, giving the right thing at the right time, that becomes a blessing to the person that's in a particular situation. Good, and that's what we want this week, right? So, here you go. Jesus goes, verse 4, down to Samaria. Let me go. I want to go kind of slow. He needed to go through Samaria. 5, he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob gave to his sons. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, and thus by the well, it was about what? Was that one small? Some of them say it was about noon. This is good. This is a good translation. It says it was about the sixth hour. Remember, sixth hour. Jewish day started at 6 in the morning. Some of you could not be good Jewish people. 6 in the morning, right? Actually, the day starts the night before, because every day begins with the night before, right? And so the evening and the morning were the first day, Genesis says. Then they start at what would have been similar to a sunrise. Sunrise, 6 o'clock, unless it's daylight savings time. They hadn't heard about it yet, right? 6 in the morning. So now it is what time? If it's noon, if it is the sixth hour. Jesus is thirsty. There's a well outside of town. He comes and sits by the well. He does not have a dipper. My wife would not drink in some of the places that I have drank. And I'm just talking about water, guys. I'm just talking about water. My aunt had a well in the hills of Kentucky. Has anybody ever seen this? With a silver-handled dipper. Ever seen one of those? And everybody drank from the same. My wife, she would have just thirsted to death because she would not have drank. She would have died of thirst. Some people just didn't grow up right like we did they? So outside the town is a well. Then here's the town. Then people come outside the town in order to get water. Jesus is sitting at the well. The disciples go to McDonald's. McDonald's they had back then. That's between verse 8 and 9. The disciples go into town to get something to eat. This lady comes out of town. Jesus is there. What time was it? It's noon. And they have a conversation. He says two or three things to her, and I'll get to some of that in a minute. And she goes, "Oh, I perceive that you're a prophet." And then she goes, "Do you think that you are greater than this well that our," any Bible readers, just go ahead. What did she say? "Our father Jacob gave us." And you can read that. Melissa's reliable. She really already read the Bible ahead of you. You can read down and you'll say that. Now, here's what she did not know. You could go to Genesis 29 and find this out. Jesus asked her, "Give me a drink." You remember that? And then he goes, "Well," she goes, "Well, who do you think you are? You should not be talking to a Samaritan, and you should not be talking to a woman." And that conversation progresses to, "Oh, so you think you're a big shot? Do you think that you are what? Greater than our father Jacob who gave." Now, here's what she did not realize. Let me tell you the story of that well. Not this well, it was another well. Was Jacob came to a well at noon. It's in Genesis 29. A woman comes, her name is Rachel. And Jacob says, "Would you give me a drink?" And she gives she is telling Jesus he doesn't know what he's talking about when he has just recreated the scene that she's talking about. Watch this, guys. Watch this. That well, what time is it? Which is the what hour? Sixth hour. Watch this. John writes in symbolism. Do you know Jacob's well is the sixth well mentioned in the Bible? There is Beer Lahoy, name of the first well. Beersheba, name of the second well. Essek is the name of the third well. Sitna is the name of the fourth well, and Rehoboth is the name of the fifth well. And in Genesis 42, the Bible says, and Jacob went down to Sychar, and Jacob dug this well. It's the sixth well mentioned in the Bible. It's the what hour? Sixth hour, they are sitting on what? The sixth well, and she has had relationship with six men. Because Jesus says, "Go get your husband." And what did she say? She said, I'm not married. And then what did Jesus say? You have been, go ahead, Anita, say it loudly. You have been married 5 times, and the man you are living with right now is not your husband. Never met her. He knows her pain point. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. This woman has a problem with men. Not she has a problem with bad men. She has a problem that men have treated her badly. 5 men have divorced her, and one does not consider her worth marrying. She's kind of a jerk magnet. Sixth hour, sixth well, 6 men. What John's going to do with imagery is point us toward that Jesus is going to take her into the seventh hour. He is the seventh well, and he is the seventh man. 5 have divorced her. 1 doesn't consider her well enough to get married to her. But here comes Jesus, and what Jesus is going to do is touch her pain point. In imagery, you are thirsty on the inside of your soul for something that human relationships cannot fulfill. But I am here. If you will drink of me, you will never thirst again, because it will fill you from the inside out. He's not talking about she'll never need H2O. What he is saying is, I will fulfill the thirst that is in your soul. Isn't that amazing? That would almost make a Baptist say amen, but not quite us. Okay, do you see the imagery? Because there's another very, very interesting thing. Sixth hour, sixth well, sixth man. Now Jesus, in John, will be the seventh man and the eternal well. Water is an imagery in the book of John. Number 1, chapter 1, John the Baptist baptizes with water. Chapter 2, Jesus makes wine out of water. John 3, you must be born of the Spirit and water. Chapter 4, he meets the woman at the well. Chapter 5, there is the pool of Bethesda, and there is what happens? The angel comes and steals the water. Huh. In each one of those, you will watch Jesus, each one of these circumstances, that he will supersede the natural picture of water by being spiritual water. Then in 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, every chapter, then in 7, he stands up at the great feast and he goes, come unto me, all ye that thirst, and drink of me. And then he goes, and out of your belly will flow rivers of water. Then, I won't go through all of it with you. Chapter 9, there's a guy that's blind that is healed by a pool of water. 19, they stab him with a spear. What comes out? Blood and water. So here's what, if you read all of John, here's what you see. Jesus is saying, I am a supply that is greater than natural supply. I am spiritual supply, and I can fill the thirst that is deeper than what you realize in your natural being. Isn't that amazing? And now Jesus is going to do something that is I got to do filler. I'm almost done preaching. You guys need a story. No. Jesus is going to do something. This is terribly, terribly interesting. And it is a method of Hebrew teaching. There's a couple methods of Hebrew teaching. My favorite is called chiastic form, and it is 1.1. I use it on you guys all the time. I just don't tell you it's what I'm doing. Point one coincides to point five. Then point two coincides to point four, and point three is the major point, and it goes 1, 2, 3. That's the big one. And then 4, 5, 1, 2, 3 is going to happen. 4, 5 is because 3 happened. Does that make sense? Then there's another method, and it is what's that called, Melissa, when you build dynamically? You crescendo. It is a crescendo methodology. I forget the Hebrew word right now, but it's point one, and then point two will build on it. Then point three will build on it. And then point four, point five, give you a little bit of repose. And then point six will come back hard. Or two or three will give you a little repose, and it'll go boom, 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 boom. And then seven, boom. It's the thing you've been building toward. Does that make sense? You guys aren't as interested in communication as I am, but it's all right. Guys, if you'll listen to me, if you'll adapt some of this at the house, your wife will make you an apple pie. Okay, now, amen. All right, no. So watch, it was the sixth hour, Jesus takes you into the seventh hour. There were six wells, Jesus is the seventh well. There were six men, they broke you. Here's the seventh man, he's gonna heal you. Now, the seventh man, five divorced you, one is not married to you. The seventh man makes seven statements. Jesus, if you have a red-lettered edition of the Bible, you will see Jesus says seven things to her. I have a red-lettered edition. I'm going to read all of them. You'll remember some of them. I got to get to number seven. So one, Jesus said, give me a drink. I was reading something. My son went to school to be a spy. Then he fell in love, and he decided he didn't want to go to Washington because that's where spies live. And so he changed his life, and he did something else. But when he was in school to learn how to be a spy, he and I would talk, and Dad, you'd like this book. And I read one of his books, and I read something one time, and it said, if you want to gain someone's confidence, now you would think, do something for them. It's exactly the opposite. When a spy, so if this ever happens to you, don't give out great information that you know about the nation. Just don't be deceived. No. Here's what they find out. If you can get them to do something for you, it begins to build. I know it seems weird. It begins to build trust. And I go, daggone it, those people are smart. They're just like Jesus. Because in this encounter, Jesus is on a faith-building journey from the first word. Oh, would you give me a drink? Now, this is absolutely hilarious because she gets so concerned about her soul, she forgets about her body and leaves the water pot there and never did give Jesus a drink. I'm reading that one time, and my mind just thinks crazy, but I go, this would be a great movie, and that would be the comedic section, is she never gave him a drink. Would you give me a drink? And then the conversation goes on. He never gets a drink. She runs off, forgets her water pot, so maybe now he can use the silver dipper to get something to drink. I don't know what the end of the story is. Huh? But that's number one. Give me a drink. Number two, if you knew the gift of God, he tells her, I am the drink you're looking for. Number three, whoever drinks this water will thirst. If you drink this water, you won't. Number four, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. And now Jesus supernaturally opens her up because he has information that nobody should know. First time he's been to the town, he should not know her personal history, but he does. Now watch this. And he handles it. He handles her hurt heart in such a way that she opens it up to him and then will go to other people and is unashamed that she's given her heart to him. That's amazing. Okay, here comes number five. He does that. And then she brings it to worship. And he says, woman, believe me, the hour is, those that worship the Lord will worship him in spirit and truth. That's who the Father wants. And then she goes, we know that in your tradition, Messiah will come, A, B, C, D. And then here's number seven. And here's what Jesus has been doing. Number five is supernatural information no one should know. So if you were to chart this with music, if you were to chord it, it would have been boom, 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 then a repose. And that silence means, listen to the next thing I'm going to say, and the seventh man comes to the seventh statement. And here's what he goes. Let me just read it in Greek. Here's what he said. I'm the man. I am the man. She goes, about Messiah, and he goes, I am him. But what she's saying, what he is saying is, I am everything you've been looking for. I am the Jacob who met the Rachel. I am the water of life that will fill your soul. I am the man. She walks away, and the next thing she says is, come see the man. Isn't that interesting? Here's going to be my prayer. May the Lord, by his Spirit, lead us. I want to be led by the Lord. I want to be obedient enough to jump off of GPS. When GPS, I've noticed, a lot of young people, GPS says, I've had people tell me, a GPS says go this way, we have to go this way. GPS has never been to West Virginia. GPS told me I didn't exist many times in the mountains. We were going somewhere in West Virginia one time, and the GPS said, go this way. And I told Molly, don't you dare go that way. It will kill you. That is like this. You go down here and you go here because I know the terrain, not the map. How about this? How about if God says, I know the terrain of your life, not the map that you have in here. And there are times that it may seem like I'm going here. And God will say, go here. When I go here, I want to be in the right place. That I can meet the right people. That we can solve the right problem. So we're going to get busy in a little bit. And our prayer is, Holy Spirit, lead us to be in the right place, right time, meet the right people, equip us to solve the problems that are in front of us by supernatural methods, supernatural means. Amen. So we're going to pray, and if I'll be down here if you want to pray after for any special, specific thing. But let's just do this general prayer. If you like the person next to you and you like to pray for them, you want to grab their hand, put your hand on their shoulder, whatever, it'll be all right. If you don't like them, don't do that. And I'm just trying to see who's not praying for anybody. No, good. Father, we pray right now as a people. As we head into a busy season, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff. We don't want to just see it in the natural. We want to see it from your perspective. And we are here to pronounce, come see a man. Come get to know. Come understand. Come drink from Christ, who is our life. May we be representations of your life, God. I pray for my friends in these days, the days ahead, for us as a group, but Lord, individuals in this room, that we would be led by you. We want to be obedient to be at specific places at specific times. We want to drink well from Christ. We want to represent him well. May your grace be over us to do that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you can stand together. Our worship team will come and lead us.